From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Friday, August 7th. I'm Abby Larico. Having a kid. An experience I'd give 5 stars, but definitely $3 signs. That's because childcare costs keep rising. We might think of the Midwest as being a cheaper place to raise kids, but in fact, the monthly cost for daily childcare rivals a mortgage payment. And for many working families, it's just not something they can afford to opt out of.
Many Midwesterners needed 2 things in order to get to work today. They needed a road to drive on and somebody to take care of their children.
We'll hear about 2 Midwestern lawmakers who are leading the charge to make childcare more affordable. That's coming up after this news on The Gateway. Missouri has the 3rd highest number of lab-confirmed cyclosporiasis cases in the country. That's according to new data from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. The CDC says 568 people in Missouri are confirmed to have gotten sick as part of the multi-state outbreak. That number lags behind reporting from Missouri health officials, who are tracking more than 1,000 cases. Dr. Taylor Nelson, who's an infectious disease physician at University of Missouri Health, says the CDC's update means they've officially tied cases here to those in other states.
Once you get connected to kind of the current large-scale outbreak, that means they've been able to connect cases to the product that was identified, the iceberg lettuce that was identified.
The CDC is also investigating other possible sources of cyclospora. In all, the agency says 15 states are confirmed to be part of the outbreak, including Illinois. In this week's election, Missourians voted based on newly redrawn congressional maps. Also on Election Day, Missouri Secretary of State Denny Hoskins rejected an effort to put that 2025 redistricting up for a statewide vote, a move that was promptly followed by a lawsuit. Now Missouri's Attorney General is weighing in. Catherine Hanaway tells STLPR's Jason Rosenbaum she doesn't think the state's congressional primaries will have to be rerun later this year.
Hanaway provided legal assistance to Secretary of State Denny Hoskins when he rejected a referendum aimed at overturning a 2025 redistricting plan. That decision is currently being challenged in court. If the Missouri Supreme Court overturns Hoskins' decision, then a recent court case states that the redistricting plan was suspended as of December 2025. But Hanaway says she expects the 2025 lines to be in place for November and doesn't believe courts will order redo congressional primaries.
We are way beyond the time limits when it would be legal to change the boundaries for these primaries.
A decision on the referendum is expected by September. I'm Jason Rosenbaum, St. Louis Public Radio.
The group behind another rejected constitutional amendment is suing to place its measure on Missouri's 2026 ballot. Among other things, the Respect Missouri Voters initiative would make it harder for the legislature to overturn voter-approved ballot items. Secretary of State Hoskins rejected that proposal, too, on Tuesday, contending it violated various aspects of the state and federal constitutions. But in a lawsuit filed yesterday, supporters of Respect Missouri Voters said their initiative is lawful and that Hoskins can't unilaterally reject something because he thinks it's unconstitutional. If the lawsuit is successful, then the Respect Missouri Voters initiative will go before voters in November. Missouri Republicans are reconsidering how they want to approach making it harder to amend the Constitution, as well as tax cuts, after the failure of Amendments 4 and 5. But as St. Louis Public Radio's Sarah Kellogg reports, Democrats plan to use Republicans' votes on 4 and 5 against them for the November election.
Missouri House Democrats have launched a tool on their website allowing voters to find out how their representative voted to place Amendments 4 and 5 on the ballot. This new feature comes after Missourians rejected both amendments in every county in the state. House Minority Leader Ashley Awney says it's important for voters to remember who put those amendments on the ballot in the first place.
This was such a resounding no from voters of all political stripes that my hope is that we can continue pointing to these as examples of Missouri Republicans being out of touch and not listening to voters.
As to whether voters will remember the August primary by the general November election, Awney says there will be enough momentum as long as Democrats keep it up. I'm Sarah Kellogg, St. Louis Public Radio.
Missouri's annual back-to-school sales tax holiday begins today and runs through Sunday. During this 3-day event, qualifying purchases are exempt from both state and local sales taxes. The tax break applies to most clothing and shoes priced under $100, school supplies like notebooks, backpacks, and calculators, and personal computers worth up to $1,500. The tax holiday is open to everyone, not just families with students, and shoppers do not have to be Missouri residents to take advantage. This year, Illinois also has a sales tax holiday starting today, but it is a bit more limited. The state's tax rate will drop to 1.25%, and local sales taxes will still apply. Computers and computer accessories are not included in Illinois, where the tax holiday runs through August 16th. An Italian pasta maker is rolling out operations in St. Charles with a new $36 million facility. As STLPR's Anison Krebs Carr reports, the Bertani 1882 USA Inc. facility is set to bring 150 new jobs to the area.
The company manufactures filled pasta products. Its first U.S. facility will transform the former General Mills property. Enrico Bulla is the managing director and co-founder of Bertani 1882. Bulla said in a press release that the new St. Charles facility will help the company expand into meat-filled products and deliver products to retail partners. Bulla said, quote, "This investment enables us to reach out to new customers in a market brimming with opportunities." Landing the facility was a collaborative effort among several groups and city and county officials. I'm Anison Krebs Carr, St. Louis Public Radio.
A civic group plans to redevelop two parking garages in downtown St. Louis to increase foot traffic in the area. Arch to Park Equity Fund purchased the Keener East and Keener West garages overlooking Keener Plaza. The group plans to beautify and update the garages in hope of attracting ground-level retail to the buildings. A few restaurants and a printing shop are currently housed there. Arch to Park Equity Fund is operated by Greater St. Louis, Inc. That's a regional development group that partially focuses on revitalizing downtown. It's just one of several new efforts to bring new life and redevelopment to downtown, including the recent passage of a bill that allocates $55 million in RAM settlement funding toward downtown revitalization. Parents of young children know the reality. Childcare can cost almost as much as a mortgage. In Missouri and Illinois, families are spending anywhere from $9,000 to $19,000 a year to have their child cared for during the day. However, a fix is in the works to update how childcare subsidies are granted. The Midwest Newsroom's Daniel Wheaton reports.
The first few years of a child's life can be the most expensive. Unlike school-aged children, whose education is funded with taxes, families are expected to pay for care.
Many Midwesterners needed two things in order to get to work today. They needed a road to drive on and somebody to take care of their children.
That's Walter Gilliam, the executive director of the Buffett Early Childhood Institute at the University of Nebraska.
One of those we treat as an infrastructure, roads. The other one is child care.
Across the country, about 70% of children under age 6 live in homes with working parents. For some parents, the sheer cost of child care means it makes economic sense for one parent to leave the workforce, a decision that can come with a lifetime of lower earnings. The federal government allocated more than $12 billion in subsidies this fiscal year. States determine the details, but eligibility is usually tied to the state's average household income. Earning more than $60,000 in a year can mean a family is not eligible. Not all childcare providers accept subsidies. Just Like Mine Daycare in Lincoln, Nebraska is one that does. Liz Arnold has operated Just Like Mine in her home since 2020 and has been a childcare worker since 2010. Accepting the subsidy comes at a real cost.
You're not getting paid cost of care. I make more money when I have private pay clients, but it is important to me that I support my subsidy families because that was the family that I was when my kids were growing up.
Subsidies also come with additional paperwork for providers. They have to track attendance, drop-off times, and are subject to inspection at any time. There's lots of paperwork for families as well. Tiffany Belford of Lincoln has been on the subsidy for about a year. We spoke during drop-off in late July.
How long do you think you've spent, like, just gathering all that paperwork and proof?
It's taken a couple times just for them to either email me the paperwork, tell me where to find it on their website, because it's not always the fastest find. Getting someone to finally fax it over to where I need it. So it's been a lot of hours trying to figure out everything.
Nationwide, there are nearly 11 million childcare slots, but nearly 15 million children who need care. As low pay leads to high turnover, there's a shortage of workers. It's part of a cycle that keeps costs rising. Here's Brendan Timpey, an economics professor at the University of Nebraska-Lincoln.
It's hard to pay them enough to compete with these other sectors, right? And that raises the prices.
Congress is working on measures to update how subsidies work and increase the supply of childcare slots. The House and Senate versions both have bipartisan support. Nebraska Senator Deb Fischer introduced the Senate version. She discussed the bill at a hearing in April.
Across our states, we consistently hear about three core challenges: limited supply, workforce shortages, and high costs for families. The Child Care Modernization Act directly addresses each of these.
Iowa Representative Ashley Hinson introduced the House version. It would update the grant system by calculating the subsidy from the total cost of care. This would make subsidies more responsive to inflation. Timby, the economics professor, supports the bill, but improving child care workers' wages is his primary concern.
I don't see a really easy way around this that doesn't involve raising wages.
As the midterms loom and Congress enters its summer recess, it's unlikely the bills will move in the short term. In the meantime, the daily routine of drop-off, complete with hugs and waves, will continue at Just Like Mine Daycare. I'm Daniel Wheaton, the Midwest Newsroom.
The Midwest Newsroom is a collaboration including NPR and member stations in Iowa, Kansas, Nebraska, and Missouri, and is a member of the Trust Project. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, thanks for listening to The Gateway. Have a great weekend.